Good morning. And welcome. My name is Ruth. I am the Minister of Community Engagement here at Rosedale United Church. And joining me in leadership today is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, and our soloists, Patera Spells and Mariana Bell. Reverend Dr. Kristen Phillipson is on vacation. And the organ is also sort of on vacation. It's getting an upgrade, so that's why Sarah is on the piano today. The organ needed some repairs, so we decided to make it become an organ 2.0. Is that fair? Okay. Yeah, we took the opportunity of the blower blowing away, and so we're upgrading the organ so that it will be ready in tip-top shape in September. On Thursday, you were invited to a memorial gathering for Jennifer Aiken here in the Catherine Grant Room from 2:30 to 5 p.m. Joe Aiken and family, we offer you our condolences. So next Sunday, it's going to be EPIC around here. EPIC stands for Experiential, Participatory, Image-Rich, and Connectiveness. So it's not going to be a regular service. There's going to be participation. Everything's going to be on a PowerPoint, so you're going to see everything. There's going to be videos, and it's going to not look like any church service we've ever done here. Well, ever done at Rosedale since I've been here, since September. I don't know about that before, but it's going to be epic and different. So just preparing you for next Sunday. One of the things we will be doing is we're talking about what is church, what makes a church. And so there'll be bricks like this one that have paper on them, and then you write on the brick what makes church. I did this with a group of youth in a Bay of Quinte conference a number of years ago. And the two things that every youth said the church had to have was stained glass windows and a bell. Some thought it should have a helipad, and others thought it should have basketball nets. So I'm looking forward to seeing what your vision of what makes church is on Sunday, next Sunday, which will be our last Sunday for the summer, and then we'll be moving. You're invited to go to Rosedale Presbyterian Church until Labor Day, and then we'll be back here on September 10th. A warm welcome to those who have come from Rosedale Presbyterian who've been worshiping with us this July. It's wonderful that this partnership has been going on for years, and it's wonderful that we've continued it together as we worship together in the Rosedale community. If you are here for the first time, a warm welcome to you. And after worship, you can stay for a time of coffee and tea right through this door into the Catherine Grant Room. Coffee and tea is self-serve, so please pour yourself a mug, and you can leave the mugs on the pass-through to the kitchen, and then they'll be cleaned up from there. Are there any children? For the young and young at heart, there is an area at the back for coloring, and there's puzzles and there's storybooks back there as well. Make yourself at home. Rosedale United Church is an affirming congregation. This is a community for people of all ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. And we acknowledge today, as we call ourselves to worship, that we do so on land stewarded by our Indigenous siblings for a millennia. We acknowledge the centrality of this land to the spirituality and identity of the Mississaugas of the Credit River, the Anishinaabe, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Wendat. This land was the territory of the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant and the Williams Treaties and Treaty 13. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us rise as we say our call to worship together. We come in worship aware that we live in a world of comparisons. lively congregations or empty pews, worshiping at church or worshiping in nature, healthy plants or weeds. We come in worship aware that we live in a world of comparisons, and yet we are called beyond comparisons to see a world of unity, a world where all who worship, regardless of where they worship, come in faith to wonder about creation. Come, let us worship. And let us join our voices together in singing hymn number 520, We Plow the Fields and Scatter. Greet one another with the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion in our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot, through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus our Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as people of faith, we offer our faithful response in Jesus' name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pateras. That was beautiful. As we enter this worship, our theme for today, as you hear the words of the scripture, I want you to think about this question. Why do we live in a world of comparisons? Why do we deem some things as good and other things as bad? So our scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter, and it's verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. And I'm going to be reading from the First Nations translation of the New Testament, an Indigenous translation of the New Testament for today. I read, as I do when I'm preparing for the sermon, I read a number of translations, and I thought this one offered something slightly different than the New Revised Standard Version that's in your pews. So if you want to read along, go ahead, but just know it's going to be slightly different as we hear these words from the First Nations translation. And this is a second parable about seeds. It's called Weeds in the Garden. Jesus, the Creator sets free, told the people another story. He said, "Creator's good road from above is like a man who scattered good seed in his garden. But during the night, while his family slept, an enemy sneaked in and scattered bad seed in with the good ones. When the plants began to grow, the weeds also grew with them. When the family's garden workers saw the weeds, they said to the man, 'Honored one, did you not plant good seeds in your garden? Where did these weeds come from?' The man answered, 'An enemy has done this.' 'Should we go and dig out the weeds?' the workers asked. 'No,' the man said. 'They are too hard to tell apart now. We might dig out the good plants with the bad. Wait and let them grow together until it is time for the harvest. At that time, I will tell the workers, first go and gather the weeds into bundles for burning, then gather the grain in my storehouse.' When he had finished, Jesus, Creator sets free, left the crowds and went to the house where they were staying. The ones who walked the road with him went in with him and asked, 'Tell us the meaning of the story of the good and bad seeds in the garden.' 'The true human being is the one who plants the good seeds,' he answered. 'The garden is all the nations of the world, and the good seeds are the children of the good road. The weeds are the children of the worthless ways of the world. And the enemy who plants the bad seeds is the evil one. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the helpers are the spirit messengers. Then when this age ends, the weeds will be gathered together and burned in the fire. The true human being will send his messengers to remove the stumbling stones from the good road, along with all who hold on to their bad-hearted ways. They will be gathered into bundles and used to feed the fire of a great oven. Then they will weep many tears and grind their teeth together in anger and frustration. Then the ones who are in good standing will shine like the sun in the land of the Father's good road. The ones with ears should hear and understand." May God add wisdom to this reading. Amen. So this is a time for us to share in prayers of the community. And as we've been doing for all of July, I wondered what are your concerns are. And I'm going to go grab the microphone so that we can share in what your concerns are. And you can just speak them into the microphone. And then we'll pray them together. Anyone? Any concerns? No?
So many.
So many? Yeah.
Nature.
Yeah. Nature. Yeah, the concerns of our environment. It seems like our world is either on fire or underwater at this moment. The wildlife that are affected by this, the people who are affected by this, the resources that are affected by everything in our world. It's really stressful. Yeah.
The hundreds and thousands of people seeking asylum and then being greeted with closed doors and asphalt sidewalk. And I feel caring and love for the churches in North Toronto, which opened their doors and are accommodating hundreds of these people.
I was thinking the same thing as answered. The
same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know which way to go.
Well, given our concern about climate change, I worry about how we're going to adapt to it and how we do our part to accelerate the process of conversion in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Closer to home, I worry about my husband with a bulging disc causing major, major pain and disability whilst waiting surgery.
Oh, gosh. And you're sitting here in a pew. Wow.
Just hoping to keep in my heart my Aunt Margaret, who was in the hospital this week, and my sister-in-law and her family, who are expecting their second child next week.
Pray for Liz Kane and on the sad death of her husband, Wayne Johnston. I pray for Joe Aiken on the tragic death of her daughter, of Tony Bennett and his family, and all those who have been touched by death in the last while.
At the end of this summer, I am returning to UK, where all my family are. This is going to be a very, very hard move for me. I have so enjoyed the church and my life in this lovely country. It'll be difficult.
Yes. So many losses, so many struggles in our world. Oh God, we wrap all these prayers up to you. We raise them up to you. We ask you, God, to bless everyone, to bless all those who we are concerned about in our hearts, to bless this congregation, and to bless this planet of ours, Earth. Amen. And now, as we have shared in our prayers, this is a time of offering. So you can put your offering in the wooden box that's at the back of the church. Light a candle for those who you are holding in your heart, those you've just spoken about, and those who are still in the silence of your heart. Light a candle in honor or in memory, and we are invited to offer the works of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God, as a blessing for the world. And Sarah will play.
morning. I'd like to say a couple of words about this piece of music because it's unusual. It sounds very Victorian, but in fact was written in 1976 by a professor of composition at Brigham Young University. So it comes to us from the LDS or Mormon Church. And I will sing the first verse in the singular, and I will sing the second verse in the plural so that we can all pray along with this song.
Thank you, Mariana. That was beautiful. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may you add wisdom to this reading, to these scriptures, to these words. Amen. I must admit that the scripture for today is a tough one to reflect on, and I was kind of wishing I had chosen anything but the gospel for today. It's the whole good versus bad paradigm that's always been a problem for me. Perhaps it's because, as a queer person, I get judged for being me. I live between the binary, and therefore I am judged for not being enough. Not feminine enough, not queer enough, not fitting in. So much in our world is a judgment call. What we deem as good, others see as bad. Even weeds are not good or bad. Dandelions are good for the bees, and they can be used in salad, tea, even in wine. I was at a grocery store yesterday, and they were selling dandelion leaves. I mean, young children love to pick the pretty flowers, and yet many of us have spent hours pulling them out of the lawns and gardens. In the Message translation of the scripture for today, the weeds were actually a specific plant, a thistle. Thistles are prickly and they're very hard to touch, but they're also the national flower of Scotland, and they're beautiful in their purple color. And yet, in the Message translation, they are a weed. 2 weekends ago, I was in Pennsylvania at the Rodale Institute. Rodale teaches organic farming. We ate delicious meals of the food that was grown on the farm. We heard the philosophy of Rodale of allowing a field to rest when it had been harvested, of allowing weeds to grow on the field, and then using those weeds as a cover to nourish the soil and grow a row of wheat in the middle of the ground cover. This made me wonder if we could reframe this story and think about this, about the explanation in the First Nations version, that weeds are products of the worthless ways. If we take these worthless weeds and, instead of destroying them, show them that they can be useful and worth something, then what was once bad is now good. The weeds are valuable and can feed ourselves and the world. Many of us can feel like those weeds, that we are worthless. Many of us can feel like we need to be reframed as well. Now, I have a black thumb. I'm the person you give a plant to if you want to kill it, because that is exactly what I will do. I have killed plants that are been deemed unkillable. So I didn't travel to Pennsylvania to learn about organic farming. I went to Pennsylvania to meet someone. Someone who had inspired me for my entire 25 years in ministry. I went to meet Rob Bell. Rob Bell is an author, preacher, podcaster, and for my entire 25 years in ministry, he has inspired me. He has toured the world, and now he does these two-day intensives. 2 days in a room with 29 other people from North America who quickly moved from being strangers to becoming family. The concept is simple. You come with a question. After speaking to Rob and the rest of the group, whom he calls the committee, you are transformed and inspired. It's a simple thing. We sat in a room, in a circle, two chairs in the center, Rob's in one, and people come up and sit next, across from him. He sits there and says, "Who's next?" When I went up, Rob gave me a reminder, because I was saying that I don't have the authority to speak. I don't feel like I have the authority. I don't have a doctorate. I have ADHD, and doing education doesn't work for me. And so I felt I didn't have the authority to speak or write or create. And he reminded me that authority doesn't come from a piece of paper. It comes from lived experience. It comes from taking what you have learned and applying it to life. We each have lived authority. It comes from taking what we've experienced and what we've learned in the world and putting it into practice. He reminded many of us that what is worthless is not utilizing everything we have learned in ourselves and in the world. He reminded many of us that this person you are is enough. This is enough, he kept saying to so many of us, including me. This is enough is a reminder that we are enough. We are enough for this world. We are enough for this community. We are enough to take weeds that have been deemed worthless and reframe them to be worth everything. We are enough to create moments of meaning in the world, to create the kingdom here on earth. We are enough. This is enough. I wanted to leave you with these words from Rob Bell, taken from a piece aptly called Sunday. You are this potluck of emotions and feelings and physicality. You are part mountain and part ocean and part spirit. You are a fascinating, endless mystery that you move about this world. And there is cement and taxes, and there's your insurance agent, and there is the person you buy bread from. You have people that you love, and you have people who are like human sandpaper. They annoy you to no end. There are people you embrace on a regular day, and there are people that you pass by on a street in a large city on the other side of the world, and you will never be close to them again as long as you live. You live in this body with this breath that comes and goes, and then in this body you experience this world with wind and waves and trees and rocks and deserts and mountains. It's all part of what you call your life. And in these experiences with this breath coming and going, and in this body with this people that you know, this set of circumstances that is called your life, you have these experiences. And some of these experiences fill you with hope and with life. Some, it's a beautiful song. Some, it's holding the hand of your young daughter. Some, it's sitting by the bed as your grandfather takes his last breath. Some, it's a holiday meal with relatives. Sometimes, it's friends from school. Sometimes, it's that moment at work where you get the sense that what you're doing matters. We have these moments of meaning, these moments of substance, these moments when we think, yes, there is a point to this. So, my friends, may you know those moments of meaning, and may you always remember that you are enough for this community, for each other, and for the world. Amen. Let us join our voices together in singing hymn number 333, Love Divine. Go out into the world knowing that you are enough. Go out into the world knowing that you may be the only good news your neighbor reads this week. So write the vision and make it plain. Go in peace, go in love. Amen.